So we're going to continue our Bible study in Proverbs. We have been looking at a study of wisdom in Proverbs. So we've been looking at some different topics, subjects in Proverbs that wisdom speaks to. And we started the last time, which I guess was 2 weeks ago now, we started the last time talking about the wisdom that Proverbs has in relation to families. And so we're going to continue that. This is lesson number 16 in our study. The title of this lesson is A Good Spouse. And just to get started, we'll look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 18. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So a survey of marriages in the Bible may not be quite as encouraging as you would think that it would be. I mean, think of some of the different ones that we get in the Bible and we get some description of. Think of Abraham and Sarah. And we can think of great examples of faith and faithfulness and many good lessons that we learn from Abraham and Sarah. And of course, he's the father of the faithful. And even though if we think about them and we think about their marriage, which evidently was a long and a loving marriage, their story is not without some problems. It's not without some downward arcs, you might say, to their story. Think about Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and already you can see that we're heading for trouble. And think of David and his many wives, and David's house was troubled in many ways, and we know that there were some reasons for that. And then we, of course, come down to Solomon himself, the author of many of these Proverbs that we have been looking at for several weeks. And Solomon beats them all, hundreds of wives and concubines. Really, the examples that we have, and though there is good and there's positive and there's good things to learn, there's also some problematic examples that we find in the marriages and the families that we read about in the Bible. No doubt this is because they're human and because sin is always involved, even in the best of what we do and what we have. So the Bible has a lot to say about the importance of marriage and even commends it. It is God's design. But the examples that we have in the Bible of marriage seem to be at least less than ideal. Now, in the last study, we talked about how there is this underlying assumption in Proverbs. In other words, we talked about the context and the setting of Proverbs, that these are wisdom lessons primarily for young men. And there's this underlying assumption throughout the Proverbs that a young man instructed in wisdom will marry and will have children, will have a family. And we're also told in Proverbs that marriage can be a great blessing and it can also be a great curse. So think of a couple of places. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So a good wife, the young man is told, can be a crown. Can be a blessing, can be a signal of favor from the Lord. And a bad wife can be like rottenness in your bones, like some sort of disease that would be eating you away from the inside out. Now, you could say that the sages are teaching that marriage can be the making or the breaking of a man. And we can see that even in just a couple of verses that we read. Now, again, though, I want to bring us back to the context and to the setting of Proverbs. So Proverbs is wisdom training for a young man primarily, and you see that as a target audience, and you see how that shapes even various of the wisdom sayings themselves. There's sort of also this underlying rural, agrarian type culture and setting. And again, as we've talked about this context and setting for Proverbs, we understand through wisdom that that's not meant to limit the message of Proverbs. You know, so Proverbs doesn't only have wisdom for you if you have a flock of sheep or goats, for instance, if you live on a farm or you know, whatever that the case may be. So even as we're thinking about the wisdom sayings that are set in the form of instruction to a young man, marriage is just as much a blessing or a curse to the woman who marries, if she marries a wise man or a foolish man. So obviously as we go through Proverbs and we realize this setting for Proverbs, and we also understand application. So you know, wisdom sayings, oftentimes one of the nature of wisdom sayings is that they have many layers, and sometimes they'll have many applications. And you might say in some ways wisdom is very versatile that way. So again, you have sort of this emphasis on the young man and his marrying a good woman, but really, for the most part, most of the sayings along that line can be just turned right around and applied the very same way to a young woman looking to marry a wise man. So in this particular study, we do want to consider how that Proverbs speaks wisdom to men and women in discerning a godly spouse. And in so doing, we're going to try to work through just a couple of lists. So one will be a list that would give us ideas of a good husband, and the other would be a list that would give us the ideas, the wisdom of a good wife. So we're going to start talking about a good husband. Now, it seems like as you read through the book of Proverbs that there are more statements to the young man about a wife, and we've talked about that with the context and the setting. And so you think, well, what does Proverbs have to say to a young woman as concerning the man that she would be looking for as or considering marrying? Well, essentially, a good woman is looking for a good and a wise man. And when you think about it in those terms, then you realize that Proverbs speaks abundantly to this issue. I mean, Proverbs speaks throughout, you know, giving the difference between goodness and wisdom and folly and wickedness. And so you've got descriptions of good and wise men throughout the book of Proverbs. So really, it's just a matter of thinking about that perspective, understanding what it is that Proverbs is giving us. And so even though a lot of these statements we're going to look at pertaining to wise men, it's not cast in the form of saying, look for this in a potential spouse, in a potential husband. Look for this in a potential husband. And it's not cast in that form, but nevertheless, Proverbs speaks richly to the subject of what a good and what a wise man looks like. All right, so let's just work through some of these. Ultimately, again, the young woman should be looking for a good and a wise man. So Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 10, and this is a good example of the sort of thing we're talking about. So in verse number 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Now again, that saying is not set in the context of looking for a spouse. It's not said, you know, young woman, look for a man who treats his animals well, you know, sort of thing. It's not set in that way, but it certainly applies, doesn't it? So if we're thinking about what a wise and a good man is according to wisdom, Well, he's going to be a man that's kind and compassionate. How a man treats others, even down to his animals, whether they be considered as pets or whether they be considered as prey that he's hunting, or whether they be considered as beasts of burden, animals of work that help him in his profession, whatever that it may be. So a good man, a righteous man, it says, regards the life of his beast. He's not going to be a cruel man. He's not going to be mistreating even down to those animals. And again, whether they be pets, whether they just be wildlife, or whether they be animals that are part of the farm or whatever that the case may be. So as we think about this righteous man and is going to regard the life of his beast, well, then we make an extension from there, and we can say that a good and a wise man is one that is going to be concerned for others, and particularly those that could be considered the weak. In other words, those that would be vulnerable could be the poor and needy, widows, the fatherless. Sometimes these groups of people are presented in different ways. Those that are weak, they're easily taken advantage of. They're easily ignored or set aside. And so a good man and a wise man is going to be concerned for others, just as he is, as we're saying, about the animals. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 7, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. So this, again, these are signs of wisdom. These are signs of righteousness, as is described here. So a good and a wise man is not going to mistreat the animals, but he's not going to mistreat people either. And when you think about people in this category, like the poor, the weak, the vulnerable, these are people that they can easily be mistreated in the sense that they can be taken advantage of, or they can just be easily overlooked because they can't do anything for you. So, what sort of a man is he? Is he taking advantage of those that are weaker than him, or is he simply neglecting them because they can't do anything for him? They can't further his cause. They can't give him anything that he is looking for. So obviously, when you're thinking about wisdom and how that wisdom is taught in Proverbs, a lot of it is going to come out in how that we relate to others and how that we deal with others. So another trait of a good and wise man would be that of generosity. So it wouldn't just be the absence of taking advantage. So Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So again, what sort of a man should a young woman consider as a potential spouse? Well, a good and wise man, one that doesn't, mistreat others, and one that is generous to those that have need. And again, when we're talking about the poor or the weak or the vulnerable, again, you're talking about a group of people that they can't repay. Like it's not a transaction. It's giving. And so, is he generous? Also, we would say in the character trait of a wise man would be a controlled and a gentle tongue. So Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18, this obviously would relate to his speech. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So how does he speak? How does he use his speech? Does he use his words and his speech like weapons to cut down and to wound and to maim and all that sort of thing? Or does he use words to heal or to build up? Does he use words wisely. Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Verse 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." So we've studied so many facets of wisdom, even in just this brief study that we've been doing of Proverbs, and we've noticed how that our speech, our use of words, and our restraint of our tongues, or the lack thereof, says something about us. It reveals reveals wisdom, and it can also reveal folly in us. So as it comes to speech and the emotions, particularly that of anger and such, a good and a wise man, according to Proverbs, is one that has self-control. So Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In other words, the fool pursues his own course doesn't listen to wise counsel. In other words, he's going to follow his emotions and his passions. In other words, he's going to be ruled and guided by those rather than the voice of reason. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." So someone who has self-control, and particularly over their anger for a man, well that's we could put this in several different ways. That's better than a man that has a lot of money. That's better than a man that has a lot of power, a lot of influence. That's better than a man who has a really big house, or just on and on and on. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his own spirit than the one who takes the city. So rather than being the shaker and the mover, the man that actually has control over his anger, control over his emotions and his passions, is better than that. So a good and a wise man is one that has and exercises self-control. And along this line, when we think about the listening to wise counsel, this is another mark of wisdom, which is appropriate to think about in terms of a potential husband or a potential spouse. Is he willing to be corrected? In other words, when we've talked about wisdom in Proverbs, we've noticed that there are many sayings that revolve around the idea that wisdom will receive correction. Receiving correction, in fact, when we study Proverbs, is inevitable, and it's necessary in order to acquire wisdom. Well, will he receive correction? How does he respond to correction? How does he respond to criticism? How does he respond to counsel that is given him? And particularly, you could also relate this to what we were talking about earlier, with how that he relates to other people, the weak and the vulnerable, particularly like where that comes from. You know, is he only willing to receive correction from those whose approval he's trying to gain? Is he willing to receive correction from those that might be considered less than him in social standing or whatever the case may be? Is he willing to even be corrected by his wife, if she has a word of correction? Is he willing to listen to that and to correct and amend his way? So Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 12, "A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise." Down in verse 31, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." And you can, verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So reproof and correction are indispensable to acquiring wisdom. And it is a character trait of the wise that they will receive correction. And it is a mark of the foolish that they despise correction, that they will not receive correction. Sort of the stubborn obstinance, like, I don't know, you know, if you had this saying around here or not, but, you know, when I was younger, I can remember, you know, people talking about, you know, someone that would, you know, cut off his nose to spite his face sort of thing, you know, that kind of stubborn obstinance. So, you know, is a good and a wise man is one that can be corrected. He can be talked to. He can be approached. He can be someone that you can ask him questions. You know, he's not going to fly into a rage just because someone's asking a question. And a good and a wise man, and particularly good for a potential spouse, would be the one that is willing to admit when he is wrong. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So a good and a wise man is one that is going to be able to own when he is wrong, and he's going to be able to own up to that, and he's going to be able to you know, confess that and to seek the proper reconciliation, whatever may be required, just depending on whatever the wrong is. So then we would see that overall, we might take a lot of these things and put them together and say that a good and a wise man is a man that has humility. He has humility. So Proverbs, back to chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 25, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow." Verse number 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So if you think about destroying the house of the proud, you know, you definitely could see this as being a warning in seeking out a potential spouse, marrying a man of pride, marrying a man of arrogance, marrying a man of conceit, is bringing trouble onto your own house. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." And so here again, we would kind of draw that same conclusion that we saw earlier. A man that has true humility, not a false humility that's just pride with a mask on, but has a man that has true humility, is better than one to divide the spoil. In other words, one that has a lot of money or a lot of credentials or worldly fame and accolades and things of that nature. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 12, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So it is important. A good and a wise man will have true humility. And obviously we're not trying to assert or describe a man that's perfect without any sort of flaws. But again, wisdom is shown in how that he responds to those. How does he respond to those flaws? Does he acknowledge and confess them? Does he receive correction? And does he seek out wisdom in order to eliminate them as much as possible? And so along with this, then, in Proverbs chapter 19, in verse number 11, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." So a good and a wise man is going to have a forgiving spirit. He's going to have a willingness to overlook. And in other words, so for a woman that would be thinking about a man as a potential spouse, you know, is he constantly, you know, picking at every little thing, you know, overly critical, and just quick to take offense over the slightest of things. Well, he should have a forgiving spirit and passing over things that are small matters, passing over and even having the understanding to recognize sometimes that sometimes people are in extreme situations and undergoing great distress, and those are not always our best moments sometimes for some of the things that we say and do. And so having the forgiving spirit and overlooking transgressions as much as possible, things that are really more trivial, it's just far better to overlook those. Is, you know, in other words, he's a good and a wise man is not the kind of man that's keeping score of every perceived wrong or insult against him. Also, a good and a wise man will be a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife, with contention. And you know, like a verse like this, when you look at it, well, this verse doesn't specify husband or wife. It's sort of one of those verses that speaks in general about it's far better to have little. It's far better to be poor, you might say, and have a poor house than to have a rich and lavish house that's full of strife and contention. Well, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Let's go down to verse number 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And so there's other passages that we could look at here in Proverbs as well, that a good and a right and a good and a wise man is not going to be a contentious man. He's going to be a peacemaker, having control over his anger. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And there's actually, if you think back, there's quite a few verses in Proverbs that are very similar to that, say similar things about being quick to anger and quick to vent, quick to, you know, express, just sort of open that release valve on whatever all the emotions are that are pent up inside. So a good and a righteous man then, a wise man, is going to be a reliable, a trustworthy, it's going to be an honest man. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 24, whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul, he heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. We've already looked at a number of verses, so we're not going to turn to all of those about sloth and hard work. A good and a wise man's obviously going to be a diligent man. It's not going to be a lazy man. He's going to be a man that can keep the appropriate confidence. Not going to be a talebearer and a gossiper. We've looked at a number of verses about these things already. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So you might say a wise and a good man, according to Proverbs, is going to have discretion. Is going to understand. Have some reliability there. Will be a man of integrity. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And we would also say that a good and a wise man that would be a potential spouse for a young woman would be one who fears God and obeys God's word. In other words, a godly man. Again, not flawless, but a godly man. So Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13. And verse number 13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. chapter 14 and verse number 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 16 and verse number 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So, obviously, a good and a wise man will be what we would call a godly man. It'd be a man that takes seriously the Word of God, that is seeking to obey the Word of God. All right, so that brings us now to the second list, and that would be the good wife. And so, again, Proverbs has that setting in context where there's a lot that is spoken to young men, and particularly in prospect of marriage and prospect of finding a spouse. And usually if we think about what Proverbs might have to say about finding a wife and such, we probably generally tend to think about the various warnings about women in Proverbs. But wisdom in Proverbs does give us both the positive and the negative. So it's not just all a negative of don't do this, but there's positive as well. So we'll start with some positive. To say that a good wife will be one that, just like a good husband, is going to be a good and a wise woman. And in fact, you remember that wisdom is personified as a woman in Proverbs. And we have that beautiful picture in Proverbs 31 of wisdom as a woman. And so we're told various things about a wise woman. So for instance, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So obviously a young man would do well to consider those words and to consider a woman that he would consider as a prospective spouse to be a wise woman, and realizing that a foolish woman destroys her own house. Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 13, a foolish woman is clamorous, she's simple and knoweth nothing. In other words, she's boisterous. She's naive. She lacks wisdom. She's like the description in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So this we could evaluate this in a lot of the ways when we were talking about how character of wisdom and goodness, righteousness, and godliness, how these things are more important to find in a man than that he's rich or whatever. And we have a similar view here, that a beautiful woman that doesn't have wisdom is like putting this golden ring in a pig's nose. So that would be sort of the same along the same sort of line. There are things that are more important than just some physical and superficial things that we might look about or that we might think about in looking for a spouse. So a woman that's wise and that is good is going to be one that is going to be gracious. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. So the a woman that is gracious and kind, in other words, she retains or attracts or acquires honor, and that would be through wise and godly character. And then we think about the flip side of that. Well, then we get verses like Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 9. These are some of the warnings that it comes to mind. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 24. He that, let me see, is that? Oh, yes. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. So again, a very similar statement there. And there's another statement that says it's basically it's better to live in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. I think it's Proverbs 21:19. So that would sort of be the opposite, the flip side, the negative side of the picture. So obviously, a good and a wise woman is a woman that would be faithful, would have loyalty, a woman that's going to be faithful to her husband. And when we think about some of the warnings that are given to the young man, we go back to like Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. In other words, this is an adulterous woman. So this is a woman that obviously we would want to avoid. This would be a woman is not faithful and loyal to her husband. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And when we think about the warnings in chapters 5 and 6 and 7, especially in Proverbs, when we think about those warnings, we realize that there's a number of things that come into play, one of those being her beauty. She is physically appealing. Another of those would be her words, described as being smoother than oil, sweeter than honey, flattery, all of those sort of things. These are not the marks and the characteristics of a faithful woman. And so a young man would be looking for a woman that would be faithful and a loyal woman, one that would be committed to her husband. And so a good wife would be one that honors her husband. She's not trying to supplant him, or she truly is a compliment and is a help to her husband, and so on. All these terms that we have in the Bible about that. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. We think of the woman in Proverbs 31, so Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So a good woman and a wise woman will be one that honors her husband. We know that a good man and a wise man is one that honors his wife. In other words, it's not a competition, and it's certainly not an arrangement of selfishness. It's not simply one seeking to have their wants and needs satisfied, whatever that those may be, and the other sort of in this kind of tension, and that's not a mark of wisdom. And so we would ultimately come down and say the same thing about a good woman. A good and a wise woman is going to be a godly woman. She is going to be one that is, above all things, a woman that fears God, a woman that believes his word, a woman who seeks to obey his word. Proverbs 31, while we're here in verse number 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so there are a lot of superficial things that we can base our thoughts and our choices on, But fearing the Lord, that's something that's enduring, and it's something that far surpasses any sort of physical beauty, whether that would be in a man or a woman. So she's going to be a good woman. A wise woman will be one that fears God. She will be sort of the opposite, obviously, of what we see of the strange woman. If you go back to Proverbs 5 and verse number 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Here he's talking about the strange woman whose feet go down to the path of hell. Chapter 6 and verse number 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So when we think about that woman in Proverbs 31, a wise woman, and she's described as being virtuous, she's an excellent woman. And so for a young man who's considering a spouse, a prospective spouse, a woman that he would marry, he should put a premium on these particular characteristics. Now again, whether we're talking about a man or a woman, no one is flawless. No one is perfect. And obviously, again, it comes back to wisdom and how that they respond to instruction, how they respond to correction, how they respond to making mistakes and errors and all that sort of thing. Okay, so marriage, obviously marriage between a man and a woman is the foundation of the family, and marriage is something that's treated very casually today, something that can be avoided. It's something that can be just dispensed with as it suits us. But Proverbs, as well as the rest of the Bible, recognizes that father and mother are the primary teachers of their children, and that's for good or bad. And so I think we, in the last lesson a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the family provides many opportunities for learning wisdom. And that's by instruction, that's by correction, it's also by observation. So, as parents, and even as grandparents, when you have, children and grandchildren, and sometimes even down to great-grandchildren, and we're always teaching. Always teaching, whether we're doing that deliberately by instruction or the giving of a loving correction, or whether we're doing it not so deliberately in the sense of a foolish use of words or our actions. We're always teaching, and a good marriage provides that base for mother and father to speak wisdom to their children. And a good marriage is what is idealized in Proverbs, because that good marriage puts father and mother on the same page in speaking wisdom to their children. And it's reflected when we think about it. Just one example here at the end. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So as we think about these calls to heed wisdom and these calls to receive instruction, and especially when father and mother are particularly named, well, they're speaking wisdom into the life of their child, and they're doing it as one voice. It's not a clash. It's not a conflict. These things are not in tension, but father and mother are speaking wisdom with one voice. And what does that tell us? Well, that tells us that there must be a good marriage there. It tells us that you have a good and a wise man and a good and a wise woman married to one another. Again, not flawless, but operating wisely and seeking wisdom and receiving instruction and correction themselves and growing in wisdom, and then in turn speaking from that as with one voice to those children and to that next generation.